daf is Masechet Pesachim daf Samach Aleph, and we're really, it's a very inspiring daf, because this week's parsha is Parshas Bo, and in Parshas Bo, Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu the first set of mitzvos, starting with Kiddush HaChodesh, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, and progressing to the mitzvos of Korban Pesach. The whole idea of taking a lamb, slaughtering it, roasting it, celebes avos, a lamb for a household, celabayis for a family. And that's what today's daf talks about. So Hashem wants us to be learning daf hayomi. He's telling that to us through Parshas HaShavua, and he's telling it to us through the daf, but the daf is about this week's parsha. So we're going to start at the bottom of Samach Amud Beis. We're dealing with the fact that Korban Pesach is really in a certain way like a Korban Shlamin. If you missed the date, if you didn't bring the Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, so then, unlike all other Korbanos, after Pesach, you should do it Shelo Lishmo. You should do it for a different sanctity. You should do it for Shlamin. And then it will be okay, then it will be accepted. If you try to bring the Korban Pesach Lishmo, for the sake of the sanctity that it has, to bring the Pesach as Pesach, after the holiday, it's a disqualified Korban. So now on the second wide line here, on Samach Amud Beis, Ibaya Lehu, they had a question in the yeshiva. Pesach sheshchato b'sharimos hashana b'shinui ba'alim. Let's say you have a Korban Pesach. It was purchased by a family or a household, and they did not bring it to Yerushalayim on Erev Pesach. Now it's sharimos hashana, it's the other days of the year. They bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. If the Kohanim would slaughter it as Pesach, it would be disqualified. But the Kohanim don't say anything. They don't say Pesach, they don't say Shlam, they don't say anything. What the Kohanim did do is that they misidentified the owner. They said, we're slaughtering it not for the family that bought it, the family of, let's say, Rehovot or Achayim 5 in Yerushalayim. They said, we're slaughtering it for the families of Rehovot ibn Shiprut 32 instead of Rehovot or Achayim 5. So they slaughtered it, stama, without declaring shlamim, just stam. It was during the other days of the year, but b'shinui ba'alim, for the wrong sets of owners. So now, what's the law now? Do we say Shinui Ba'alim Kishinui Kodesh Tam? The same way when this Pesach were to be slaughtered as a Shlamim, were to be slaughtered for a different sanctity, it would now be good because it's after the holiday. After the holiday, you want it to be a different sanctity. So we should say that changing owners is like changing sanctity, and therefore it's Kasher, Machshule. Although, maybe there's a difference between changing sanctity to changing owners. Changing sanctity would make it okay. But to change the owners and to slaughter it on behalf of the wrong owners, that doesn't make it okay. Amra Papara Papa said, Amrita Lishmaita. I said over this logical argument, Hamedi Rava, in front of Rava. In other words, Rav Papa said, I sat in front of Rava. This was the question they had in the yeshiva. Korban Pesach, after the holiday, slaughtered for the sake of the wrong ba'alim, the wrong owners. I said to Rava, I think I can figure it out. I said like this, Oh, v'shinu kodesh poslo bezmano. If it would be Erev Pesach, and you would slaughter this Korban Pesach for the wrong holiness, slaughter it as shlamim on Passover Eve, it would be disqualified. V'shinu ba'alim poslo bezmano. If on Erev Pesach you don't slaughter it for the right family, not for the people who bought it, you slaughtered it for some other family, you did not buy the sacrifice. If you change the owners at the time, it also is disqualified. Therefore, Mashi Nekodesh Apostle Bismano, Mashi Yushalo Bismano, the thought of the wrong holiness, which disqualifies it when you have that thought and that declaration on Erev Pesach. That very thought of the wrong holiness is what makes it kosher. Shalo bizmano, when it's not Pesach. Ashinu b'ayilim, shepos lo bizmano. So too, the thoughts of the wrong owners which would make it disqualified if you had those thoughts on Erev Pesach, Machshiro Shelo Bizman. If you have the thoughts of the wrong owners outside of Pesach, you've changed the sanctity, and now it's kosher. That's what Rav Papa argued. Amar Li, Rava disagreed. Rava said, "Look, you can't compare these two types of thoughts. Imamarta b'shinui kodesh. When you think about a Pesach that it's a shlamim, when you think shelo l'shmo, when you change the sanctity, that can make it kosher after Pesach. Shekem sula begufa. That's a very powerful thought. It's a thought that's a disqualifier in the item itself, because the item had a certain sanctity. It had the sanctity of Pesach." Now you're thinking shlamim, declaring shlamim. So that's violating the item itself. Yeshnu ba'arba avodos. And this disqualifier applies in all the four major acts of service. During the slaughtering, if you said you were slaughtering as a shlamim, during the catching of the blood, during the walking of the blood, during the throwing of the blood on the altar. If you say you're doing it for shlamim, now disqualified it on Erev Pesach. The Yesh Nalachar Misa, this disqualifier of Shelo Lishmo, would apply even to someone who inherits a karban. Let's say the father dies and the child inherits his sacrifice that he purchased. And then when the child brings it, the Kohanim offer it Shelo Lishmo for the wrong sanctity, not the sanctity that it has in it. That disqualifies it. The Yeshno B'tzibur K'viyachid. And the disqualifying nature of wrong sanctity applies to communal sacrifices just as it applies to individual sacrifices. Toma B'shinu Bailam. Where is the thought of the wrong owner, not the wrong sanctity? In psulo begufo, it's not a disqualifier in the essence of the sacrifice. The sacrifice was Pesach, it still is Pesach. It's just the owner. That's not the sanctity of the item itself. Beino b'arba avodos. And this disqualifying thought doesn't apply to all the acts of service. It actually only applies during the zrika. If you shecht it for the wrong owner in most other sacrifices, not Pesach, but other sacrifices, wouldn't this be disqualified? The Eino L'Acharmisa, and the disqualifying nature of Shinui Ba'alim, doesn't apply to a sacrifice that somebody inherited. Because if he inherited his father's sacrifice, even if it would be brought, it wouldn't be for the original owner. So if somebody thought about a different owner, it doesn't disqualify it. And it doesn't apply to a Karban Sibur, communal sacrifice. There is no other owner. It's Klal Yisrael. You can't think of another owner. But the way it applies to a Yachid. Says the Gemara, these rejections of Rava to Rav Papa's argument are not really so strong. Avagav the Tarti Lav Dafka. Two of these points are not really precise. You can reject them. But Tarti Mi Adafka. But two of the points are precise. That you can't compare the power of Shelo Lishma to the power of Shelo L'Shem Ba'alav, the different owners, the different natures. Right? Two of these points are not really precise. The Maishna Shinui Ba'alim, Lo Havi Psula Begufo, what do you mean when you say that thinking of a different owner is not an intrinsic disqualifier? The Psula Machshava Ba'almahi, because it's not that you change the item, you just declared something different about the item. It's a thought. You didn't do something to the item, like spilling the blood. Or you just had a thought about it, a declaration about it. Shina Kodesh Nami, the same is true in regards to Shelo Lishma. It's also Psul Machshava Ba'almu. It's not really an intrinsic disqualification. It's that you declared about it Shlomo when it's really Pesach. And the second point, which is also not really such a point, Hadama, this is what Rava said, Shinui Ba'alim Eino L'Acharmisa, that when you inherit a sacrifice, so if somebody now offers that sacrifice that you inherited, not for you, it would still be okay. Not everybody agrees to that. Rav Pinchas, the son of Rav Ami, says in Masechta Zvachim, Yeh Shinui Ba'alim L'Acharmisa, there is a disqualification
of thinking about the wrong owners, even for a sacrifice that's inherited. So then, Michael Nira, then, where do you have this challenge? But two of these points are true. Two of the points are true, that in Shinui Baalim, you don't have this disqualifier in Karban Sibur, in communal sacrifice. And in Shinui Baalim, it doesn't apply to all the four avodos. Whereas Shinui Hashem, thinking about a different sanctity, does apply to all four avodos. Shalom l'shmo. El Amarava. So now, getting back to the question. Somebody who offers Karban Pasach after the holiday for the wrong owners, is the fact that it's for the wrong owners now make it kosher? El Amar Rava said no. Pesach Sheshchato B'Shar Yemos Hashana B'Shinui Baalim. A Karban Pesach slaughtered during the rest of the year for the wrong owners. Nasek Mishen Lo Baalim Bizmano. That's the same thing as slaughtering it for the wrong owners on Erev Pesach. And the Karban is Pasal. The Karban stays Pasal. Okay, now moving on to the next Mishnah. Karban Pesach is different than other Karbanos. In other Karbanos, the main part of the Karban is the throwing of the blood on the Mizbeach, the Ritzui Dam. Then you're supposed to eat it, but the main part of it is the throwing of the blood. In Karban Pesach, the main part is the eating of the Karban Pesach. As we're going to see, the owners of the Karban Pesach have to be people who could eat. They can't be people who are elderly or sick that can't eat. So now the Mishnah is going to talk about if you slaughtered the Karban Pesach, and when slaughtering the Karban Pesach, the declaration was made that it's being slaughtered for people who cannot eat. Says the Mishnah, Shchato Shelo L'Ochlav. The Karban Pesach was slaughtered, and during the slaughtering, they said, we're slaughtering it for, let's say, Mr. Schwartz and Mr. Feldman. And we know who Mr. Schwartz and Mr. Feldman are. These are elderly people or sick people who don't have the ability to chew meat. So it was slaughtered for people who don't eat. Or Shalom Menuyah. You know, part of the Karban Pesach, this week's Parsha, is that everybody has to contribute money, those who want to be part of this Karban Pesach. And with their money, a sheep is bought, and they're all partners in this karban. So those are called the menuyim, those who are counted into the sacrifice. Let's say it was slaughtered for a different group. It wasn't slaughtered for the people of apartment 4I. Those are the people who actually bought this karban. It was slaughtered for the people of apartment 2J. People who didn't buy this karban, they bought some other karban. So shalom menuyim, it was slaughtered for not the group that was counted in this karban. Or la'arelim. It was slaughtered for people, Jews, who don't have bris milah. And a person who doesn't have a bris milah is not allowed to eat Karban Pesach. Now, how can you have a Jew without a bris milah? If it was dangerous for him to have bris milah, it would have risked his life. So then he's exempt from bris milah. So let's say he had two older siblings. They both died from bris milah. He's exempt from bris milah. Karban Pesach slaughtered for the Arelim or Litzmeim. Or the Karban Pesach was slaughtered exclusively for Jews who are Tameh, who can't eat Karban Pesach because they're impure. Also, the Karban is disqualified. Now it has to go and be burnt. But what happens if it wasn't only for those who can't eat? It was for those who could eat and those who can't eat. It was slaughtered la'ochla v'shalo la'ochla. When he's slaughtering it for those who can eat with those who can't eat. Le'menuyah v'shalo le'menuyah. He's slaughtering it for those who had counted into this Karban and bought this Karban, as well as those who did not buy this Karban. Le'mula mila arelim. He's slaughtering it for those who were circumcised and those who are not circumcised. L'tzmeim v'l'tzohorim, for those who are tameh and for those who are tzar. Then it's kosher. Because since, at the time of the slaughtering, he's thinking about people who are appropriate for it, and you can only do one act of slaughtering, you can't do an act of slaughtering for some and not for others. If it's slaughtered, it's slaughtered. And it's a kosher machshav. Says the Gemara. Now, the next line of the Mishnah, new law. Not talking about slaughtering it for certain people and not for other people. We know, as we've learned before, that the Karban Pesach is supposed to be slaughtered in the late afternoon, and that's because the Torah says two terms of afternoon about Karban Pesach. It says Ba'erev, and it says Bein Ha'arba'im. So says the Mishnah, Shchato Kodem Chatzos. If a person slaughters the Karban Pesach, not in the afternoon at all, in the morning, slaughtered before the middle of the day, then it's possible. Mishum Shenemar, because the Torah says, Veshachtu Oso Kol Kal Adas Yisrael Bein Arbayim. Jewish people are to slaughter it in the afternoon. In the morning, it doesn't work. What happens if it was in the afternoon? Shchato did slaughter in the afternoon, but Kodim Tamid. But before, they slaughtered the Tamid of the afternoon. We've learned that the Tamid, it says about it just Bein Arbayim. It says about the Korban Pesach, Ba'erev, and Bein Arbayim. So therefore, Korban Pesach should be after the Korban Tamid. What happens if he didn't do that? He waited till the afternoon and slaughtered Korban Pesach before the Korban Tamid. Then it's kosher. The Korban is kosher. However, he should still have the Korban Tamid brought before it. So if he just slaughtered a meal, oh, I made a mistake. I slaughtered too early. I haven't done the Korban Tamid yet. Somebody should be stirring the blood to make it able to be sprinkled. Ad shizarek hatamid. Until the tamid is slaughtered, and the blood of the tamid is thrown, and then throw this blood. So the blood of the Pesach should be after the blood of the tamid. However, v'im nizrak, if they didn't do that, they threw the blood of the Pesach before the blood of the tamid, kasher. Because this law that the tamid should be before Pesach is lemitzvah. It's just ideally. What the absolute requirement is that the Pesach has to be in the afternoon. But that it should be after the Korban Tamid, that's just ideal. For the Eved, if the Tamid was after the Pesach, it's also okay. All right, now we have Brisas to expand on what we learned in the Mishnah. Tanur Rabbanan, we'll do the Brisa. Ketzet Shalola Uchlav. What does the Mishnah mean when it says, if you slaughtered the Korban Pesach for people who don't eat it? The Shum Chola. You slaughtered it for the name of a certain sick person who doesn't have the ability to eat, or the Shum Zakin, or the name of an elderly person who also doesn't have the ability to eat. Ketzet Shalola Menuyav. What does it mean that you slaughtered it for those who didn't count into it? Shenimnu Alav Chaburazu. Let's say you had a group that bought this animal. But when it was slaughtered, the Kohen was thinking and declaring that he's doing it for the name of another group. How do we know this? That if it's slaughtered, Shalolam and Uyav, slaughtered for the wrong people, or for people who don't eat it, that it becomes disqualified. Tanur Rabbanan, it's based on the Pasuk in this week's parasha. The Pasuk says, if the household itself is not enough to eat all of a full lamb, then he and his neighbor that's close to his house are to buy together the michsas nefashos with the count of all the souls. Ish lufi achlo, each person will eat his amount. Tachosu, and you'll count them all up, alaseh, on the sheep. So since the Torah says b'michsas nefashos, b'michsas, b'lamishena pesach nishchat, let's tell you that this, the carbon pesach has to be slaughtered for those who were counted up on this carbon. So maybe you might have thought, okay, so it should be slaughtered on those who are counted onto this carbon. But if you slaughtered it not for these people, you slaughtered for other people, so you missed out on a mitzvah. Maybe the carbon is still kosher. Talmud, that's the pasuk repeats it. The michsas, and it says tachosu. Hakasav shana olav. The Torah repeats the idea of having a count, la'akev, to say that this is the absolute requirement. You can only slaughter the Pesach for those who were counted in this Pesach. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says that this is about the slaughtering, because Lashon Sursihu, because Tachosu has a double meaning. It has a meaning in Hebrew of counting, it has a meaning in Aramaic of slaughtering. Ke'adam Shom al-Chavir, like a guy tells his friend, Kusli Tlezes, slaughter for me this sheep. So the fact that in Aramaic, Tachosu means to slaughter, means that originally in Hebrew it also meant to slaughter. And that meaning sort of got forgotten from the Hebrew, but the Aramaic preserved the original Hebrew meaning. So why did the Torah use a word? The Torah didn't say timnu, count. Why did it say tachosu? Tachosu has both a connotation of counting as well as slaughtering. To say that this law of the count is about the slaughter. The slaughter has to be for those who are counted in it. Okay, so that's the source, that you have to slaughter it for those who are counted in it. Ashkechan shalom nuyim. And in fact, it repeats this idea that those who are counted in it are the one it's slaughtered for. From the words tachosu and michsas, we know it's an absolute requirement. How do we know that if you slaughtered the Korban Pesach for people who don't eat it, that it's also disqualified? Amarka, that's what the Pasuk says, Ish lufi achlo tachosu, each person according to what he eats. So, iskash ochlo menuyin. So, just like the menuyin is an absolute requirement, because it says tachosu and michsas, in the same Pasuk it talks about you're slaughtering it for those who are eating it. So, that law of slaughtering it for those who are eating it is also an absolute requirement. All right, now turning to Samach Aleph Amud Beis. Says the Gemara. What's the law about the following? Shchata lemulin. He shechted the karban for Jews who were circumcised. And presumably these Jews, these are Jews who were menuyin. They bought this karban and they had signed up for this karban. But during the shchita, he said, Al menashi iskapru bo areilim bizrika. I'm shechting it for the people who have a bris milah. And my intention is that when I throw the blood of this karban pasach, this blood throw will be for people who don't have bris milah. So Rav Chisda Amar Pasuk. Rav Chisda says now that disqualifies the karban. Rabbi Amar Kasha. Rabbi said it's Kasha. The shechita was done for the right people. The shechita was done for people who have bris milah. But during the shechita, he declared he would do a zrika. He would do the throwing of the blood for the wrong people, for people who are not part of Karban Pesach, people who don't have bris milah. So Rabbi says it's Kasha. And Rav Chisda says it's possible. Rav Chisda Amar Pasul. Rav Chisda says it's possible. Yesh machsheva sarelim bizrika. The thought of the uncircumcised matters, right? It certainly matters in the shechita, the word tachosu, but he thinks it matters for the zrika too. So if there was an intention that the zrika would be for the uncircumcised, gets disqualified. But Rabbi Amar Kasher, Rabbi says it's Kasher. Ein machsheva sarelim bizrika. In the zrika, the thought of the uncircumcised doesn't create problems. Yes, in the shechita, to say I'm slaughtering it for uncircumcised people would certainly create problems, because yish lefi achlo tachosu, you're supposed to slaughter it for the eaters, and an uncircumcised guy can't eat. But if you're talking about the zrika, the throwing of the blood will be for the uncircumcised, that doesn't create a problem, even though you were talking about the throwing of the blood during the shechita. During the shechita, you were saying, I'm going to throw the blood for the uncircumcised. It still doesn't create a problem. And we'll see it's based on a pasuk. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, what's my source that intentions for the uncircumcised during the blood throwing, right? Blood, connecting blood throwing with the uncircumcised doesn't create a problem. You know, I mean, what's my source? The Tanya, we learned it from a braisa. The pasuk says, V'chal arel lo yochal bo. Any arel should not eat of the Karban Pesach. Any uncircumcised should not eat of the Karban Pesach. And the Torah says, Ish lefi achla, you slaughtered for those who could eat. So clearly you can't slaughter it for an arel. Yachol yivsal b'nei chabura haban imo. Maybe you'd say that the arel, the uncircumcised, disqualifies the rest of the group that's coming with him. Maybe we would say that if you have an uncircumcised guy who gave money to buy this Karban Pesach to people who were circumcised and they gave money, and the Karban was slaughtered both for the uncircumcised guy and the circumcised people, so Yachol Yifsel Bnei Chabur Aban Imam, maybe we should say he causes a disqualification. That if there is a thought of an uncircumcised guy in the Shechita, together with people who were circumcised, it creates a disqualification. You might have thought that that would be the case. Vidinu, and maybe you would say that that would be based on logic. Pawil V'arla Poselis. Right? If you only slaughter it for uncircumcised people, it's disqualified. Similarly, Vitzuma Poselis, if you only slaughter it for people who are Tame, it's also disqualified, because these are people who can't eat. So I might say like this, Matuma lo asaba mixes tuma kachal tuma. If you slaughter for a group, some of the group are Tame, some of the group are Tzahar, then it's Kasher. It's Kasher. We'll see later how we know that, but it is Kasher. If you slaughter for a group, part of the group are Tame, part of the group are Tzahar, it's certainly a Kasher carbon. Therefore, I might say, so too would be with Arla. Af Arla, so too in regards to the uncircumcision. Lo asaba miktas Arla kachar lo Arla. If you slaughter for a group, part of the group are uncircumcised. part of the group are circumcised. We don't say it's as bad as slaughtering just for the uncircumcised. And we'd say it'd be kosher. Maybe we should go and compare the disqualification of uncircumcision to something else. Not to compare it to slaughtering it for a person who's tameh, but rather comparing it to a thought of chutz l'zman, a thought of eating the karban at the wrong time. On the one hand, slaughtering it for people who aren't circumcised is slaughtering it for people who can't eat, so that disqualifies. We also know zman posel. If a person slaughters a karban with the intention to eat it at the wrong place, intention to eat it at the wrong time, it's also disqualified. Figgle is the thought of eating it at the wrong time. So I'll say like this, mazman asabo mitzvah kachol zman. In regards to piggle, in regards to the thought of eating some of it at the wrong time, it doesn't have to be that a guy was saying, I'm going to eat this entirety of the carbon at the wrong time. If he only says, I'm going to eat a piece of the carbon at the wrong time, the whole carbon becomes piggle. The portion is as if it's the whole thing. So say the same thing, afarla, so too in this disqualification, if slaughtering it on behalf of someone who's not circumcised, we should say, asabo mixas arla kachal arla, that if there's intention of slaughtering it for the uncircumcised, even though it's with the circumcised, that intention of for the uncircumcised already creates a problem. The same way that a little bit of thought of out of time creates a problem, a little bit of thought of uncircumcised would create a problem. So now, if that's the two tracks, do we compare slaughtering for the uncircumcised like slaughtering for the tamei, or do we compare slaughtering for the uncircumcised like slaughtering with the thought of chutz l'zmanu? So let's see what law is this most similar to. Do we say dan in davar shenu noig b'chol zvachim? Let's derive slaughtering for the uncircumcised, which is a law that doesn't apply to all karbanos, because there are karbanos that an uncircumcised person could bring. Midavar shenu noig b'chol zvachim. Let's derive it from, or to another law that doesn't apply to all karbanos. A tameh can't have a karban pasach, but a tameh could have other karbanos. So let's compare the two and say, therefore, the same way when you slaughter for a group, within the group, some of them are tameh and some are tohor. It's a kosher karban pasach. If you slaughter for a group and some of the group are without brismila, arelim, and some are with brismila, we'll say it's a kosher karban pasach, because we'll compare a law that's unique to pasach to another law that's unique to pasach. And don't tell me, no, there's a little bit of a wrong thought here that disqualifies the whole thing. The same way we find with the thought of eating it at the wrong time. Can't compare that. Because eating it at the wrong time is something which applies to all karbanos. All karbanos have a disqualification if you eat it at the wrong time. Maybe you should go in this way. You learn carbon pasach for slaughtering a carbon pasach for the uncircumcised, you'd learn that from slaughtering any carbon, including carbon pasach, to eat at the wrong time. Because the law of don't eat at the wrong time is an absolute law. It's never suspended. You always have a law of don't eat at the wrong time. So that you derive from something else where it's never suspended. You're always not allowed to slaughter for the guy who doesn't have brismila. The guy who doesn't have brismila is never allowed to eat carbon pesach. But don't learn the laws of slaughtering for somebody who's uncircumcised from the laws of slaughtering for somebody who is tameh, because the law of the tameh being disqualified is not an absolute law. There are times when the tameh is qualified. If most people are tameh, then we have a rule, tuma hutra b'tzibur. If the whole community is tameh, then it's permitted. So maybe you don't compare arelim, the law of arel lo yochalbo. We wouldn't compare arel lo yochalbo to the law. We would not derive arel lo yochalbo from the law of tuma, because tuma is not an absolute law. Tuma doesn't apply if everybody's tummy. If everybody's tummy, then we suspend tuma. But if everybody doesn't have a bris milah, we suspend carbon pesach. So just like chutzlis mano, a thought of eating it at the wrong time is an absolute law, the law of a non-circumcised being unable to eat Karban Pesach is an absolute law. So we should derive absolute law from absolute law. And we should say, just like the thought of chutzlis mano, if there's any little bit of chutzlis mano thought, the whole thing is disqualified. So too, if there's any little bit of slaughtering it for an arel thought, namely there's an arel together with non-arelim, the whole thing gets disqualified. So therefore, it's not so clear how to resolve this question based on logic. So the Braisa ends off by saying, Talmud Lomar, that's what the Pasuk says, Zos Kukas HaPesach. And it says, V'chol Orel Lo Yochal Bo. It says, read the whole Pasuk. V'yom Hashem El Moshe V'Aaron, Zos Kukas HaPesach. This is the law of the Pesach, kol ben necher lo yochal bo. Any stranger cannot eat from it. V'chi yagur itchav ger, v'asa Pesach la'ashem, himolo kol zachar. If you have a convert living with you and he wants to do a Karban Pesach, he has to do bris milah on everybody. V'az yikrav la'asoso, then he can come to do the Karban Pesach. V'haya ke'ezrach ha'aretz, he'll be like the citizens. But anyone who's uncircumcised can't eat it. So now, Rabba says what he's learning from this Braisa. Says Rabba, my Zos, what's the Tana of the Braisa teaching us from the word Zos? Elim, if you're going to tell me that he's saying like this, Tekula Arla Psala. If he shechts only for arelim, he's shechting only for those who are uncircumcised, then it's pasul. Miktsasa lo psala. But if he's shechting for arelim and mulim, those who are circumcised with those who are not circumcised, then it's not disqualified. That's what he's learning from Zos. Hi, mi v'chol arel nafka. This we learn from the words v'chol arel lo yochal bo. Since it says the word v'chol, that's to say, only if it's shechted, only for arelim is it disqualified. But if it's partially arelim and partially mulim, it would be kosher. Elav, so that's not what the Braisa is saying. The Braisa says, tamalom razos, sachi katani, this is what the Braisa means to say. How do we know that the arel doesn't disqualify the other people who are with him? Tamalomar, that you learn from v'chol arel. Only kula arla psala. If it's shechted entirely for arelim, only for people without bris milah, then it's disqualified. Miktsasa lo psala. But if you shechted it for a group, and in that group, some of the group are arelim, and some of the group are mulim, it's not disqualified. V'chitzeiman, if you're going to say, hu adin lezrika the kula arla miha psala, in zrika, throwing of the blood, if he's planning to throw the blood only for those who don't have bris milah, it would be pasul. Tamaloma, that's what the pasuk says. Zos. The shchita hu dekula arla miha psala. This only applies to shchita. In the shchita, if it would be only shechting it for people who don't have bris milah, it's pasul. Abel zrika, but in regards to zrika, even if it's only for people who are Elim, it's not disqualified. If you ask me, my kula dizrika, why should we be lenient about dizrika? The answer is, the ein machsheves ochlim dizrika. The pasuk says, ish lefi achlo. Ish lefi achlo is the source that I can't be shechting for people who are tamei or people who are arelim, because they can't eat. But Ishlefi Achlo Tachosu, Ishlefi Achlo is talking about the Shechita. The Torah stresses that the Shechita has to be for eaters. It doesn't say that the Zrik has to be for eaters. So therefore, it makes sense that the word Zos, in terms of the context of thinking about the uncircumcised, is saying that the Shechita cannot be thought of for the uncircumcised. But the Zrika, even if the Zrika is only for the uncircumcised, still going to be a kasher karba. That's not Rabba's proof. Again, Rabba said that if you shechted for mulin, but you're thinking that you're going to do the zrika for arelin, He shechted for the circumcised with the plan to do the zrika for the uncircumcised. It's kosher. What's his source? This braisa. Because this braisa says the word zos. The way Rabbi reads the word zos, the braisa is saying only in shechita is there a disqualification of the uncircumcised. And even then, it's only when that's the only thought, not if you're thinking about the uncircumcised plus the circumcised. But in Zrika, there's no disqualification of a thought about the uncircumcised, and even if it would be exclusively for the uncircumcised, the Zrika, the karma would still be kosher. This is the way Rabba reads the Brisa. Yeah, question.
Isn't it one act? In other words, the Shechita.
Yeah.
So why is it breaking down between the Zrika and...
Because he thought about the Zrika separately. He said about the Zrika, and I'm going to throw the blood for the people who don't have the Bris Mila.
But when he brought the karma to begin with, he had in mind...
Right.
So assuming that he had the right thought when he brought the carbon.
But now Kohanim take over, and they may have announced the wrong thoughts.
But when Kohanim took over, they took over to the same function.
No, they announce what they're thinking. They're saying we're doing it for a different group. Right, and they announced the wrong group. They announced people who don't have Bris Mila. They're doing it for them.
If they brought it for just people without Bris Mila, they would be incorrect.
They did the Shechita for the right group, and during the Shechita for the right group, they announced that they were going to do the Zrika for the wrong group.
Midstream.
Now, Rav Chisda felt that this is possible. So what does he do with the Braisa? So the Gemara explains, Rav Chisda will tell you, Adrabba, the exact opposite, the Braisa is not saying what Rabba was saying, it's saying the other way, Le'idach Kisa. It's going the other way. It's saying that Zrika is stricter than Shechita. In Shechita, it's only disqualified if you were only shechting for the uncircumcised. If you're shechting for a group, circumcised with uncircumcised, it would be kosher. In Zrika, if you shecht even for a group, and in that group there's some uncircumcised, it becomes possible. This is the way to read the Braisa. Idach Kisa. How do you know that an Arel doesn't ruin the rest of the group? Talmud Lomar, that's what it says, V'chal Arel, Kula Arel Psala, Miksasa Lo Psala. If the whole Shechita is for Arelim, then it's disqualified. If only part of the Shechita is for Arelim, because there's also non-Arelim here, it would not be possible. That's in terms of Shechita. Aval Zrika, but in terms of an intention with the throwing of the blood, Afila Miksasa, Nami Psala. Even only thinking to throw the blood for a group, and within that group, some of them are Arelim, it's possible. The Tim, if you're going to tell me that that's not so, the same way that in the Shechita, part of the group are Arelim, it's still a Kasher Shechita. Who had in the Zrika, then with the Zrika also, Adi'ika Kula Arla, Lo Psala. But the only time the Zrika is disqualified, if the Zrika is only for Arelim, Tamil Oman, that's what the Pasuk says, Zos. What do we learn from Zos Kukas HaPesach? Shechitu d'miktsasa lo psala. In the Shechita, that's when you have only partially the thought of Arelim, it's not possible. Aval Zrika, but in Zrika, filo miktsasa psala. V'chitim amayit kumra de Zrika. You tell me, why is Zrika so strict? The answer is, to lo mikva pigul el b'Zrika, because the Zrika is the main part of the karban. The Zrika is what makes the karban considered pigul if it was all done shelo b'zmano. The Zrika is the ritzui damin. Since the Zrika is the main part of the karban, there in the Zrika, there's an added stringency. If there's any thought of Zrika being for Arelim, you think about Sheirim too, but you think about Arelim, the karban becomes pasul. Okay, Bezus Hashem, we'll continue here tomorrow.